قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about Arba'een, the 40th day after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Arba'een, just like the months of Muharram and Safar, is a fountain of spirituality. There is so much to talk about when it comes to Arba'een and how it applies to our daily lives and the complete spirituality that is given to people all across the world by means of this event of Arba'een. In order to talk a little bit about this event, this global event, of course, we decided to humbly invite Sayyid Agha Ali Raza from Pakistan to talk to us a little bit about Arba'een and its different factors and variables. Let's invite him to the talk show and begin. Sayyid Agha Ali Raza, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
So Sayyid, you know, in the last talk show, we had started to talk a little bit about Arba'een and its connection with, you know, our life in the present day. And we had started to talk a little bit about how Arba'een has this relationship with the Imam of our time, Imam al-Mahdi, and his reappearance. And so we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that, perhaps go into some more specifics, inshallah. So we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before we move on, I just wanted to make a clarification about the theme of Tawheed. So yes, we said that Tawheed is the project of the implementation and the establishment of divine authority upon earth. And maybe some of our viewers and some of the audience might think that why would God want to establish his own authority on earth? Mm-hmm. Because there's so much propaganda about this pseudo freedom that we have in mm-hmm. the modern era. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it has become a kind of a value for mm-hmm. everyone, a universal value. You see, the only way for human beings to achieve existential excellence, to reach the pinnacle of their own perfection, to reach the complete blossoming of their own potentials, is to be completely submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Because only by following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can you reach the potentials that He has created. And this is also logical. When you accept that God is the one who has designed you, then right, He knows best. He is the person who is going to write the manual of right, how to use this whole mechanism. And He has already told us that in the Quran that I have created the jinn and the ins so that they may worship mm-hmm. me. And worship is obviously one of the most apparent forms of submission, of servitude towards God. So in the end, the result is in fact the establishment of divine authority on earth is the development of humanity, right, is humanity reaching its pinnacle. So in order to relate to some of our younger members of the audience, when you see all these science fiction movies that the West creates, and they have this entire industry of doing it, and they try to show this utopia sometimes,
right,
of the future, yes, where everything is perfect and everything is, this utopia is an imaginary utopia. The true utopia can only happen when people submit themselves out of intellectual understanding, out of emotional gravitation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to this will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So it's not slavery, it's submission out of free will.
Right.
Which raises you up to the level of the angels.
And above the angels.
And above mm-hmm. the angels. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what Allah says in the Quran when the angels, they kind of disagree with Allah during the time of Hazrat Adam's creation. And Allah returns and He says, "You do not know what I know. Mm-hmm. I know what I have created and what mm-hmm. the potential of this creation is." In one word, in one sentence, the potential of humanity is right, what we see in the Prophet of Islam, mm-hmm. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This Uswatun Hasana.
In Surah Al-Isra, when we have this beginning of the Surah, where they talk about the Miraj, one of our teachers, he explained this beautifully. He says, this is like storytelling. Right in the beginning, Allah wants to show you what you can become, what can be achieved through Tawheed. Right? And then he goes on and he talks about the older nations and how they faltered and the mistakes they made and so on and so forth. So it's like one of these modern movies. They start off from the end and then they recap, right? So submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equal to human perfection.
Yes.
And alhamdulillah, the believers, they understand this completely, almost innately, from naturally. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what makes a person Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It makes a person Ali alayhi salam. And we know, if this is the result, who wouldn't want this result? Right?
Here, I want to add, so because you were saying that, you know, this divine, even though the subject is in another direction, we have to get there as well. But this itself was very interesting that, you know, why would you want the divine authority of Allah to be implemented? And as you said, that it is because that is the road to perfection and ultimate perfection.
Absolutely.
There is no other road. And just to kind of relate it to the modern age, look at all the systems across the world, and we see that they haven't provided anything other than endless wars and corruption and bribery, you know, alcoholism, drug use, pornographic industry, LGBT. I mean, you know, I don't know, just there's so much other stuff that they have provided, right? Communism.
Depression.
If
you even
yes.
come down to the very individual level. The least
yes.
that you could have promised is that we would give tranquility to our own nations,
right.
not
right.
to the world,
yeah.
but to our own
nations.
The poster boy of materialism in our age is the United States.
Right.
And the only country with the highest degree of this pandemic level of depression,
right.
of mental illness, is the United States. So what have you given to your own people?
Right, right.
And when you have not given anything to your own people, you want to give the same thing to us.
Right, we don't want your depression.
We might be poor, but we are happy.
Yes.
So let us be. So alhamdulillah, as you said, like the thing is that there's this narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, "La tara al-jahila illa mufritan aw mufarrita." If we put aside the fact that many of these ideologies were created out of an agenda.
Right.
They were never humanitarian ideologies. They were never philanthropic in nature. They were not just philosophers sitting down and thinking what would be the best solution. Even though that is true, but if we were going to
yeah,
do husnizan.
Yeah, husnizan, yeah.
We say, right,
benefit
okay,
of the doubt.
Yeah, benefit
thing.
Of the doubt. That truly that they were trying somehow out of communal human intellect to come up with solutions that were the best solutions. Still, Imam Ali says, La tara al-jahil illa mufritan aw mufarrita. A person who does not have knowledge, and obviously knowledge is something that
this is spiritual higher level knowledge.
It should be holistic knowledge.
Holistic as well.
When you're trying to solve a holistic problem, you should have holistic knowledge, right? So someone who does not have holistic knowledge will either fall from one extreme or fall from the other extreme. So in the contemporary era, we see they wanted to solve the problem of the economy. So they went towards total dictatorial government control. And then they, the other side went to total and absolute laissez-faire. Everything should be free, right?
Yeah, this free market,
free
capitalism,
market economy.
And
then on the cultural front as well, right? So you had the Victorian era that they had the whole Judaic Christian tradition, where even marital the relationship between a woman and a man within holy matrimony was still considered something as impure. And then on the other side,
There's a total revolution.
Revolution of
sexual revolution
of so-called sexual liberalism, right? So it's like a pendulum. It's always gravitating towards these extremes and always making these mistakes
and messing up the world
because in every era there is this illusion of that era, and in every era the people who are in power, they think that we've found what is right. And then they mess up the entirety of the, as far as their influence can go. And then as their era comes to a close, other people stand up, they say, oh, this was wrong. Now we'll do something new. And then they bring about their own deviations.
And this seems to be an endless circle. Well, in one talk show, you had spoken about how most of these people who come up with these theories or these new ideas a lot of the times it's some sort of inner flaw, inner corruption, exactly. which is manifested, and somehow that seeps into the theory. And so just adding to that here, we find that Islam and this pure Muhammadan Islam, this project of Tawheed, as we had spoken previously of, this has, because it has been given by the Creator,
Absolutely.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it doesn't have any place for these corruptions, these flaws, or these extremes. It is this way to perfection, balanced,
exactly.
right in the middle, and it's the only solution to the problems
exactly.
of the world.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we study here in the Hawza is philosophy, and we study the history of philosophy.
Yes.
And in a way of speaking, it is the history of human thought. So
right.
we start off from the earliest documented pieces of philosophy in Greece mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, and we come to the modern day. One of the themes that you see there is the fact that there is this search for objectivity that has had a huge history.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be objective, trying to separate the internal baggage of a human being,
mm-hmm.
of someone who is studying a subject, someone who is trying to create solutions, trying to separate his own cultural prejudices and his own cultural vices, mm-hmm. his own internal vices from the thing that he is doing. Right. And this has been a project, and there have been many solutions. But in the modern era, many philosophers believe that this is something that cannot be done.
Right, of course.
And they have come to a point where they believe that there is no such thing as absolute objectivity.
Yeah, absolute objectivity.
There is no such thing. So there's always all of my own prejudices will somehow seep through, even if I...
Mm-hmm.
And this in itself is an acceptance and an acknowledgement of the theme which religion gave 1,400 years ago. Religion, when you read the Usul al-Kafi, the first
mm-hmm,
chapter,
mm-hmm.
which is about knowledge and ignorance, you see that the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, they say that there is no knowledge without taqwa. Right? So unless you're pure from the inside, the ilm that you'll be creating will also be a deviated kind of an ilm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? So we can talk about this in detail, but obviously we do not have the time. But that is what happens. Even if you are well intentioned, but you're not connected to the path of Allah and to the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, you will come up with a solution which will ultimately create more problems. And then they will compound. These problems will compound because they are human problems. They're not something that you can just switch off, right?
Right.
So
right.
generations will be lost. And then another group will stand up and say, oh, everything was wrong. And then many times the changes that they want to bring in,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they need to kind of delete everything that had happened in the mm-hmm, the past. And mm-hmm. that's where many of the wars come about.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
how much of the genocides and so on and so forth come about. Bloody revolutions come out. So it's a compoundation of the problems that we create.
Yeah.
So at many times the narratives in the West, because the West is the dominant culture at this time, right? So these are problems that they created themselves, and then they kind of talk against the same problems as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a very good example of that is the discussion about state and religion.
Right.
The religion that they are normally criticizing, according to the history of their culture, is that mega Catholic church that
right,
was ruling
right.
Europe, right? And the atrocities that it had committed. So that wasn't a divine project.
Yes.
Why ascribe that to true religion?
Right.
There was something that you created yourself, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a product of your own culture, of your own civilizational movement. And now you have become critiques of the same thing.
But in other religions.
And then you kind of generalize this to other cultures and other religions
right,
that
right.
you have little understanding about.
Right.
right? So there's no this mega church in Islam. Even if you talk about, for example, Buddhism, right? It cannot be applied to Buddhism either, right?
Yeah.
Because they're completely different phenomena.
Right, right.
But they like to generalize. They like to generalize.
So they came up with this whole mega church,
exactly.
control everything. Then they went against the whole mega church. They control everything.
Or another example.
And then they start saying all mega church, even if there is no such
organized
thing as
religion.
Yeah.
All organized religion is wrong. Where did you come up with this?
Because your organized religion was wrong doesn't mean our.
And the same thing is with sexuality.
Yes.
They had this extreme form of control over sexuality.
Yes.
During in the past in Victorian in the Victorian era in Europe and even in the continental United States and so on and so forth. And then they start criticizing the same thing. It was them who were doing all these, they were committing these atrocities against women.
Mm.
We had, alhamdulillah, in Islamic civilization, even in the distorted form of the civilization that existed in the later caliphates of the Abbasis and the Umavis and so on and so forth, women had a position in society. We had women scientists, we had women aristocrats, right? So there was no this, there was no idea of women as slaves within their own homes, right? Even during the time, obviously, during the time of the Prophet himself, the women were playing such an active role, be it positive or negative, but they were playing this active role, right?
Yes.
And their influence in society was known. So the whole idea of women being subservient and being property. Slaves and property, this is an idea that came from your culture. Now you have stood up against it, gone to the other extreme. Now you want to create women who are essentially men. This in itself is anti-feminism in the literal sense. Sure. Why would you want to delete the whole identity of a female species? And that in itself shows that internally you are still mentally considering yourself weaker and lower than the man, because the man becomes the standard, right? I'm digressing, but the
but this
whole
is
idea
a, this is interesting, you know, because so and I don't mind talking about this, even though the subject we can get that to another talk show here, right? So if the last one we talked about the project of Tawheed, this is almost like the project of anti Tawheed.
Exactly,
this is the opposite of the Tawheed project and its repercussions.
The Quran says that which is better, being servant to one Allah or being servant to gods of numerous kinds. See, when you're not following Allah's path, when you're not following Allah's recommendation, when you're not following Allah's roadmap to excellence and to tranquility and to peace and to a profound and comprehensive form of success, then by default, you'll be scattered into these millions of tribes that have their own ideologies, erroneous ideologies, mistaken ideologies, and you will be doomed to conflict, you will be doomed to mistakes, you will be doomed to to losing generation after generation.
Yeah, lost misguidance in the dark.
Exactly. And if you see, like, as I said, that I read this somewhere, that to every epoch, there is this illusion of the epoch. And right now, we believe ourselves to be at the highest point of history. And that is such a...
Well, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he very eloquently calls it Jahiliyyah Modern.
Jahiliyyah
Modern. This is a modern day of ignorance.
Modern ignorance, new barbarism. It's the same thing. The same thing has repeated throughout history. In every part of history, people living in those times think themselves to be better than the people in the past. Whereas if you study history in a more open-minded sense, you'll see that you're repeating many of the mistakes that were done like 1,000 years ago.
Yes.
Right? So you're reinventing the wheel and just doing it over and over again. So coming back to Tawheed, if Tawheed is implemented, that leads to profound and holistic and comprehensive success for humanity. Because that is the center path. That is the balanced path, as the Quran calls it. Right. And that is why the Quran is called the Ummah, as the central ummah, because it is the balanced ummah. It is the ummah that is not mufritan aw mufarrita. It does not fall into these extremes, right? Extremes, mistaken extremes. It is according to adl. And adl, as you know, is defined as waz'u kullu shay'in ala mawzi'ih, putting everything in its own place.
Yes.
And this shows that everything has a place existentially, because the Creator created that place, right? And only the Creator knows where to place it.
Right.
So when he's giving you the solution, why do everything else and stay away from this one solution? Another point.
Well, it's interesting. Well, go ahead.
A point that I would like to add here is, they have these analogies, they have these proverbs, and people believe them to be absolute knowledge. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm. Yes, this is true for human beings, normal human beings, people who have not had tahzeeb, who have not cleansed themselves. But I'm not going to go into it theoretically. 40 years have passed since the Islamic Revolution. Mm-hmm. The people governing the Islamic Republic are not masoom. No one claims them to be immaculate, to be infallible. They are fuqaha, right? And especially the Wali Faqih, right? Every opportunity was available to become an emperor. Mm. Even the cultural baggage of Persia. Yes. It was so easy. Yes. Just declare yourself to be the just king, right? Absolute power, no corruption. Mm. He still lives, Imam Khamenei lives in that meager little house of his. And he's, if you've seen the pictures, he has not even allowed them to like cement the walls and so on and so forth. These, and there are so many anecdotes, I won't go into that. But people come from, leaders come from other countries and they see how he lives. There is an absolute and a very iron-handed control over everything that he does by the Majlis al-Khubragan, the Majlis of the Experts, which are all fuqaha, and their essential work is the accountability of Wali Faqih, right? Mm. And these are directly elected by the people. So the other falsehood and the other propaganda.
It's a circular system. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, the people are voting these people.
People are voting them into power, right? So, you have had these 40 years, where is the absolute corruption that you said? But the difference is that again you're comparing
to your own baggage,
to your own baggage, to your own internal carnal desires.
Exactly. Yeah, where a president comes in is interesting. Mm-hmm. So, in the history of the United States, I don't think we ever heard a president say that it's not a bad idea for me to be president for life until we reached President Trump. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, I think what they're doing in North Korea, which is a leader for life, is that's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
So, they're taking this personal carnal desire, this personal idea of absolute power, and they're trying to put it on people who are very, very far from it.
And in their own civilizations, this is another topic, like this needs to be dealt with. They have done, over history, they have understood that overt oppression of your own nation is counterproductive, so it should be covert. Mm-hmm. So now you see that in the leading Western countries, the governments aren't really the people in power. They are the people who are, it is a facade of power. Mm-hmm. It is that last, it's like the, it's the front office of a company. So you always have these nicely looking girls and boys sitting out there and dealing with the customers, right? And it's all very kosher and all is very clean and, right? But in the back office, everything that happens in the kitchen, right? So you have to look in the kitchen. Mm. So you have these same people, they are given stakes in large corporations, like we had this whole scandal of Enron and huge oil company that the Bush family is in, I forget the name. All of the contracts of the Iraqi oil were given to that company, Halliburton, I think.
Yeah, Halliburton.
So all of the corruption is brought into the background. And then you control the media, as Noam Chomsky says, and this is not something that we've come up with. Mm. He says that the whole idea of the liberal media is a facade. So you have the same corporations controlling the media. So you're controlling the flow of information. And then the whole idea of the social media being a democratization of information is itself a facade. Because if you look at Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter,
Instagram.
Everyone is being
Meta.
Exactly.
I think there was a new one that said that, I think the name was Meta, M-E-T-A, a social media something. But the news thing, it said that they, in this current Israeli onslaught of Palestine, they did a Palestinian post massacre.
Mm.
Meaning any post that was from Palestine, they deleted or banned or whatever they do. So yeah, this democratization of social media is also a flaw, it's a lie.
In fact, the interesting thing about the Taghut is throughout history, there's this benchmark and I keep testing it and it keeps testing true. So it's obviously it's taken from the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt. Satan is a deceiver, he's the liar, right? Mm. So one of the things that you can check about the Taghut throughout history and about contemporary Taghut is that whatever their slogans might be, take any of their slogans and you'll see it's a lie. So if they're saying freedom, What it really means is subjugation to those corporations, to this oligarchy. If they're saying, for example, leisure, it's something that goes down into depression because it's aimlessness. It's being a life without each objective, without any objective. So it's not really leisure. Right? If they're talking about peace, they're talking about, again, they're talking about submission to from the side of the oppressed. So Middle East peace is, in their idea, is the Palestinians stopping their resistance and Israel basically becoming
bulldozing them.
And obviously, when the oppressed does not exist or becomes completely subservient,
then you have peace.
Right? So like in the end of Karbala on Sham-e-Ghareeba, you had peace. Right? So that is the peace of the secular world, of the Taghut, right? So you can take anything. You can take the flag of the Daesh, right?
The whole idea of peace was really, it was very profound. And I laugh because I had never heard it be put in that way, right? Is this idea that, I'm sorry, the peace that they are looking for is the peace in which they win and you die.
You die.
Sham-e-Ghareeba, there was peace. I mean, I think this is something that people really need to understand, that they're not, as you said, that some of these philosophers have said there is no absolute objectivism.
Exactly.
Meaning these guys are not absolutely objective.
Exactly.
Their objective is, if we want peace, that means that you need to die, whoever you are, and we need to stay living, right?
We need to be able to use your resources. We need to be able to use you as a resource because you see, there are many themes to the Taghut. One of the themes of the Taghut is even their own nation is a resource to them.
Yes.
You are a resource to them. It's the same idea of some of these older religions. They had this idea of a central nation that was, or a central clan, which was in reality human, and everyone else was livestock.
Right.
So that is one of the themes that Satan kind of injects into different ideologies, and that is one of the, because that comes from the beginning, from the very part. I am from fire, and he is from dirt. Right.
Yes.
So that whole idea of everyone else being inferior is a part of their theme. So even the American nation to the American elite are resources.
Yes. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They are resources. And the day that one of these resources, these livestock, start talking, then you'll see all of those liberties and those freedoms just evaporating into nothing. And I'm not talking about some Muslim brother there, because that is an illusion in itself. There is no, just because someone gives you a different colored passport doesn't mean that you become part of a nation. But born and bred Jewish Americans, when they start talking about the system, they are completely boycotted. They financially, there's this professor, he's a in fact they wrote a book, they said 100 dangerous professors of the United States. So is that like a dangerous professor? Does that fit into the whole ideology of freedom of expression? Is there such a thing within your ideology?
Yeah.
So we go back to those themes of being incessant liars. So when they create Daesh, the flag of the Daesh is La ilaha illallah.
Yeah, Muhammad Rasul.
Right? But I explained that to my kids, like, this, why is this, right? So the Taghut is the liar, right? So the flag of the Taghut, it wouldn't be strange if Israel would change. Israel, in fact, it has the Star of David, right? So it's a religious, that is a lie.
They do not represent the Jewish faith.
They do not represent a continuation of the line of David, for example, the rule of the prophet kings. Right?
Yes.
But they, there's this word that the is used in the West. They kind of steal these cultural symbols, and they reappropriate these cultural symbols.
Right.
And as a lie, they associate it to themselves. So you have like another country in the Middle East with the green flag. The green is the symbol of the Sadat throughout history of Islam and of the Prophet's family. And then you have La ilaha illallah, Whereas they have nothing to do with La ilaha illallah.
But it reminds me of, like, so for example, almost every year, at least for the last few years, the government in power in the United States will have like a iftar dinner.
Exactly.
And they'll invite all the Muslims from all different nationalities to come to the White House and break their fast on the food that the White House provides.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that in itself is ridiculous. But it's like they're inviting Pakistanis, you know, who is being oppressed by America, inviting Iraqis who has been occupied by America, Afghanis occupied by America, Iranians sanctioned. And this, you know, is like you said, they bring in all these symbols and they try to attach it to their own selves.
Exactly.
And it's all a facade. It's all this anti-tawheed project
exactly.
of shaitan.
The only truth is Allah, right? So any deviation from Allah becomes a lie in itself. So Allah tried to make things easy for us, right? There's this long path of going and studying all the ideologies and all the religions, or at least those that are contemporary and are more relevant, but still it takes a lifetime, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then understanding all of their internal contradictions and their hypocrisies. Allah gave you a simpler and direct path, and that's why He called it Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, right?
Mm.
He gave you this path and He said that follow this path. I am the source of creation and therefore I am truth. As I think it is in the Bible, He says, I am truth and it's light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am the truth, I am the light. And He says this in the Quran as well, Allahu nuru samawati wal ars. I am the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So He gave you this path, He gave you the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and all you had to do was to follow, right?
Yes.
And at the same time, it was not blind following. They were educating you at the same time. The fact that we choose not to read the Quran, not to read the Hadith, is something that is on us. It's not from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, right?
Right.
If you see the leader of the Islamic Revolution spending large portion of his time giving sermons, is because he is the chief educator of the nation. He's
yes.
not just an administrator. You don't see this in other cultures. You don't see leaders of other cultures coming out and giving speeches every other day. And
right.
ideological speeches, trying to build the foundations of a nation's thought.
No, they're all administrative
they're
speeches.
They're all administrators.
At the most.
Exactly, they're managers. And all
this idea of a nurturer, an educator,
exactly.
a guide for mankind.
Is the theme that has come because he is the inheritor of the project of the prophets, of the projects of the imams, and the naib of the imam. Of our time.
Sayyid, so again, I apologize, we ran well over time on the talk show, but it was very interesting, even though again we didn't get to the main subject, so inshallah we will have to invite you again to try to talk about that Arba'een and Imam al-Mahdi, but a very fruitful discussion, very profound. May Allah accept it from all of us.
Jazakallah.
And dear viewers, thank you again for joining us on another talk show where the source of the spirituality was Arba'een and Imam al-Mahdi. And we talked about things that were incredibly important, especially this idea that Shaitan has an anti-Tawheed project, which he is implementing in many, many parts of the world. So be very careful, be smart about who you listen to, what you read, and of course the fastest path to Allah is Islam, the Holy Quran, and the Ahlul Bayt. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.